Welcome to Pert 20 of Scotland's ain kingly hooses. In this pert, we hear about the playboy king that's ettles made him a tyrann in Scotland. Hoose of the Stuart, hod and gone. Charles II, 1649 to 1685. Born on the 29th of May, 1630, at St. James's Palace, London, he was the son of Charles I and Hendretta Mary of France. Maist Scots took a scunner at the heeding of King Charles, and didna think twice at making his son king, knew that the Ingalls had ended the giant kingships. 18-year-old Charles was proclaimed king at Embrah on the 5th of February, 1649. Charles had fled to the Netherlands for Beald, and gied his blessing to James Marcus of Montrose to steer Scotland on his behalf. In March 1650, Montrose won at the Orkneys, but naebody would join his small army, and he was defeated at the Fecht of Carbersdale in Ross on the 27th of April. Montrose was brought to Embrah, tried for treason, and at the Market Cross by the Kirk of St. Giles, Montrose was hung on the 21st of May 1650. They cut his head off and put it in a spike at the toll booth. The Covenanters sent an ambassadory hour to spear at Charles, and after swithering a wee, he agreed to come to Scotland. The Scots threepit, Charles should tack the Covenant. Charles threepit in a Scots army to tack the croon of England forby. The twa sides agreed, and neither was affled. King Charles landed at Scotland on the 23rd June 1650 and signed the Covenant the same day. For the start, his court was ill-pertit with gurning courtiers, and the king thank it with dour covenantic ministers that screed off lang, tagglesome sermons that didna spare his private life. A bin often, Charles knew had to fecht off Ingalls' invasion, with the doondrag that the Act of Clesses debarred onybody for fechting that had focht either for Charles I or for Montrose. The Ingalls heed it be Oliver Crummell, fear that Charles would tack England with a Scots army, invaded Scotland in July 1650. He was met by Dobbit Leslie, but Leslie's army was riven with the ministers of the Kirk, mair set in scouring out ungodly soldiers, as they called them. Leslie had the Crummellian with his back to the sea at Dunbar, but on the 3rd September 1650, the Scots made a bringe and gied Crummell his inlet and a muckle victory. The Scots government, King Charles and twa or three other parties, gied yin another into a row, while the Ingalls conquest the south of Scotland. In December, the castle at Embrah was rendered to Crummell. The king's party now broke him to Scone, where he was crowned by Archibald Marcus of Argyll on the 1st of January 1651 as King of Great Britain, a title that was the king's threep. It was weel seen that for a new national army to be called, the Act of Clesses would hae to be elided, and this was done in June 1651. But the Ingalls licked their own fife and defeat the Scots at Innerkeithen on the 20th July 1651. In August, the invaders took Stirling and Perth and captured the Comitee Estates at Aileth. Dundee wadna gie hour and held out, but on the 1st September, it was ta'en, its citizens slaughtered, and the toon gien to fire and spile, breaking the spirit of the ill-pertit Scots. King Charles had left Scotland on the 6th of August and invaded England with an army of 15,000, but was bluttered with Crummell at Worcester on the 3rd September 1651. He got a war, took to the heather, and syne fled to France. The Kinrick of Scotland was now usurped with an Ingalls army, and in October 1651, Crummell announced that Scotland would be joined to the Commonwealth of England. Yin by yin, the Ken Specklehooses of strength fell or was rendered to the Ingalls, Dumbarton in the January and the Bass in April. The hindmaist hooth of strength Dunotter Castle, commanded by George Ogilvy of Barris, was sieged from September 1651 until May 1652. The owners of Scotland, the crown, sword and sceptre of the Kinric, had been taken here for safety, but the Ingalls wanted to melt down their symbols of kingship. Kirsten Fletcher, the wife of the Minister of Kinneff, now smuggled the owners under the nebs of the invaders to the Kirk of Kinneff, and she and her man, James Granger, buried them under the Flare. By 1652, there were 36,000 Ingalls soldiers hauding Scotland down, with heid forts big at Ayr, Inverness, Innerlochy, Leith and Perth, and Smoyan's other gates. Folk now had to spear about a licence for the Ingalls to haud gatherings or travel about. Onybody that wouldna tak an aith to Crummel couldna haud public office. The Court of Session and the General Assembly of the Kirk was baith shut down and a'. In August 1653, William Cunningham, Earl of Glencairn, landed in the Highlands on behalf of Charles II, and joined by John Middleton, Earl of Risen. In December 1653, Crummell became Lord Protector over England and the usurped Kinricks. Scotland had to pay a tax for the uphaud of the usurping Ingalls army, and the nobles made to pay muckle fines. Folk was weary of the weirs, and Glencairn and Middleton hadna a richt plan. On 19th July 1654, the Ingalls defeat them at Dalnaspeedo by the heid of Loch Garry, and syne Glencairn's foliers started to traipse hame. For the next 6 years, Scotland was conquest and quiet. In 1658, 30 members represented Scotland in the Ingalls Parliament, but just 11 of them was actual Scots. While the axe put through was meant to heise England's economy over the lave, loosen markets to Scots merchants. It was the death of Crummell on 3rd September 1658 that led to the Protectorate unravelling. His son and foliar, Richard Crummell, hid in the mocht and dimitted office in 1659. George Monk, the general of the Ingalls in Scotland, now marched his army into England. Afore he gaed, he asked the Scots to sit at peace, and say they did. In May 1660, the Ingalls kingship was refounded, and Charles II was called hame for the Netherlands. Scotland had accepted a peace made in England. Charles II is kent in England's history as the Merry Monarch, but in Scotland became a tyrann. Archibald Marcus of Argyll, that had crowned him, was now lifted and gien the jail for working with Crummell. In fact, Argyll had lang tint maist of his poor and was in muckle debt. On 27th May 1661, out by the Kirk of St Giles in Embra, he was put to death on the guillotine kent as the Maiden, and his cinder heid fun its way on a pike at the same tolbooth where the heid of Montrose had since bayed. On 21st of May 1662, King Charles was married on Catherine of Braganza, the daughter of John IV of Portingal and Louise of Guzman. Charles would hae a screed of fancy wives and mony bairns out of marriage, but no ae lawfy bairn with his wife. Charles yin said that Presbyterianism was nae religion for a gentleman, and naebody could blame him after his skeel of the kirk. But he should have kent fine weel what fash it would steer to threepone bishops for Scotland. In fact, in 1660, Charles and his ministers had made on that unless Scotland accepted bishops, the Ingalls usurpation, with the forts and soldiers braid Scotland, micht haud gone. James Sherp, Minister of Creil, was now appointed Archbishop of St Andrews, and would earn the hatred of Covenantic folk for uphauding the king's policies. Biding for a war in London, Charles II had to appoint a heich commissioner that would thorough Scotland to the king's interests. Joan Middleton, that had attempted a rising in 1654, served as commissioner till 1663. But it was John Maitland, Earl of Lauderdale, that held the crown of the cosy. appointed Secretary of State in 1661 and King's Commissioner for 1669. He spent his time between Edinburgh and London, and the King would make him a Duke in 1672. He was a sleekit chiel that had the King's lug, and maist up Scotland, as maist appointments and offices gave Ben his horns. The King spent a hantle siller on eking and biggin to Holyrood House, hanging it with fancy gear and pentons of his forebears. And what folk sees nowadays is maistly his work. A wheen mich consider this bony kingly house, the yin douce legacy that Cheryl's left to Scotland. Between 1665 and 1667, the King and Lauderdale sook at Scotland in a weir with the United Netherlands, a weir out of the heed of Dutch and Southern competition for markets, and the King's League with Louis XIV of France. The Scots had na muckle liking for a weir that suited England, but scathed Scotland's tread with an old partner. For by this, Lauderdale was hated for the way he daunted folk that wouldna tackle on a kirk, grand own bishops, or appointments be kings. Covenantic ministers that wouldna accept the kirk reforms led their flocks in open field services cried conventicles. There were a new folk attending them, yet the Privy Council in Edinburgh had to put out a ban and require office holders, heritors and tenants sign oaths agin them. When a puckle roch dragoons set about folk a draw rye in Ayr, it broke out the warst in Covenanter zealots, and Robert McClellan steered a rising in November 1666. For 2 weeks they marched about, before General Tam Dalziel defeated them at Rullion Green in the Pentlands on the 28th November. In 1672, Charles II gave to Weir with the United Netherlands again. He wanted Scotland to send 500 sailors and 1,000 soldiers to serve in his Weir, and granted letters of marque to Scots shipmasters. The following year, Lauderdale was in Edinburgh seeking siller for the Scottish Government to pay towards England's weir. The loss of tread, the cost, and steering up a stushy with fellow Calvinists sorely fashed the Scots community. Opinion was glad when the weir ended in 1674. But the King's fashery with Covenantic folk was aye gone. A wheen knew cod him for often as a king that had signed the covenant and signed betrayed it. Nae king but Christ, they threepit knew. Lauderdale put for it a ploy to quarter soldiers on the mere fascists of Scotland, sick as Ayrshire, or put to death they rockle covenanters that cried down kingly authority. He broke in healing soldiers in 1677, but this steered the nobles again the king. On the 3rd of May, 1679, a haunfu of fife zealots set out to murder the sheriff, but word spread that Archbishop Sherpa St Andrews was on the gate. They clocked his carriage at Magus Muir, pulped him out, and hauled him back his skirling daughter Isabel. Joan Balfour of Kinloch led the others with swords in sticking the Archbishop sundry times until they had cleaven his heed open. The zealots was glad of his death, but mony in the Kintra took a scunner. The Archbishop's son, Sir William Sherp, had a muckle tomb bigot in St Andrews to keep Obdey in mind of the bloody act. When John Graham of Claverhouse, at the heed of the King's Dragoons, met in with a party of Covenanters at Drumclog in Lanrick on 1st of June 1679, there were a sharp fecht and the Dragoons had to gie backs. King Charles, bealing at their dunce to his croon, sent his ain son, James Duke of Monmouth, to heed his army in Scotland. Jined by Claverhouse, Monmouth met and fought the Covenanters at the Brig of Bothwell on 22nd of June 1679. Yince he took the brig itself, the Covenanters brack and scaled. About 1,200 was captured and taken till Edinburgh, where they were held for many months in affy conditions in the kirkyard of the Grey Friars in Edinburgh, locket and chained in the tombs and old burial grounds. A puckle was put to death, but maist was sent outland to England's colonies. For Presbyterian zealots, it was a dark and drubbly time. Whiles, they had to tack to the heather, and between 1681 and 1685, the king's men was that ill-gien, folk cried it the killing time. The king's brother, James, had turned a Catholic, and mony jaloos the king fancied to sell a Catholic an awe. They were richt. Charles II would turn a Catholic on his deathbed. He died on the 6th of February 1685 at Whitehall Palace, London, at the age of 54, and was buried at Westminster Abbey. Queen Catherine of Braganza seen her man out by mony years, and died on the 30th of November 1705 at her hame town of Lisbourne in Portingal.